Kathy, thank you for a beautiful prelude this morning. That's not Kathy.
It's Mary Graham.
Mary. Thank you for a beautiful prelude. I jumped the gun a little bit on you, but I wouldn't have had it otherwise. You did a beautiful job. Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, we turn to the lectionary text for this Sunday from the Gospel, according to Mark, chapter 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of the God and hold a human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that is going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to express what a honor it is to be with you today. Pastor Tim called me about 6 weeks ago and indicated that he would like me to come and deliver a word from God to you today in his absence. He's at a well-deserved vacation time. And I just want to say a couple of words about your pastor. He would never say these things, so I get to. You have a great person as your minister. I hope you know that. Amen? He indicated to me over the last, we've had a lot of talks together. We served together on the Wythe County Ministry Association. He's our president. I'm the treasurer. I see the money. And he's always telling me how much he cares about you folk and how what a good congregation you are to pastor. So when he comes back, have a little glimmer in your eye when you shake his hand again and tell him thanks for the good work he's doing. Speaking of good work, I also want to thank you as a congregation. I indicated before that I do see the checks that come in for the Ministry Association, which we then relay over to Hope Ministries here in town. You are the only congregation right now that is funneling your benevolence offering that you take. Is it the first Sunday? The first Sunday of the month. And I want to tell you how needed that is right now. I get a printout every quarter from Hope Ministries indicating what they have done with the money, and you would not believe the good it is doing. Hotel bills are being paid for people who are coming with no home. The utility bills, bus tickets, just you name it. And it's being provided by people like you. And I want to thank you for being so faithful in your benevolence giving to our association and through us to Hope. And one last thing. I want to thank this congregation too for taking your stewardship seriously. not just in money either. I'm talking about the volunteers that serve from this congregation in various ways in our community. I know that all of you probably are involved one way or the other in ministries and activities that I don't know about, but I do know about two, Agape Food Pantry and Open Door Cafe. And I've been working with them for the last couple of years, and I get to see a number of you there. I won't mention your names. I don't want to offend you, but thank you for all you do as a congregation to help out. Couldn't do it without you. You're a tremendous congregation, and I am deeply grateful to be with you today in worship. Let us pray together. And now, O God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of those of us who are here today will be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've probably heard the expression spiritual but not religious. Many people identify with that motto these days, indicating that they believe in a higher power, God in some sense, but they do not claim membership in any house of worship. About 23% of Americans today claim no affiliation as they answer religious surveys, religious commitment surveys. Many people today are spiritual, but not religious. But have you ever thought about what it might look like if we turned that phrase around to say religious, but not spiritual? There are also plenty of people today who adhere to that phrase, that motto. They go to church. They go through all the motions. They adhere to all kinds of religious doctrines. But there's not much spiritual life in it. They are religious, but not spiritual. There's a story about that's sometimes shared among Methodists, we'll pick on them this morning, about an old bishop who used to track down young ministers at annual conference, asking them, young man, they were all men in those days, do you own a pair of black shoes? If you do, please wear them. If you don't, go buy yourself a pair. If you can't afford it, send me the bill. I don't want to ever see you in the pulpit until you have the proper footwear. We shake our heads in disbelief about something that seems so trivial as wearing black shoes. A mark of Christian propriety in somebody's little notebook. But there you have it. I come from Mennonite country up in northeast Michigan. Mennonites, good folk in many, many, many ways. Love them. But I once heard about a Mennonite bishop who was having difficulty with some of the women in his charge. The Mennonite lady's bonnet in that local area had strings on both sides that they would tie under their chin. But some of the women decided they were going to let the strings on their bonnets dangle. After the bishop saw that, he was overheard to say, honestly, I don't know what this world is coming to. We may laugh at such outrageous expressions of tradition, but we all have traditions. That's because we are human beings. We're creatures of habit. We get used to doing things in the same way, whether it's the routine we use to get up in the morning or the route we take to work or school or the way we eat the items on our dinner plates. My son only eats one thing at a time. The meat, potatoes, dessert, never mixes them. But we tend to do the same kinds of thing at church. We settle into a routine, a certain way of doing things. We like to sit in the same pew every Sunday, right? You're there now. We hold monthly board meetings, whether or not there's much of any business to conduct. We get used to following a set order of worship, and we get uncomfortable if anybody wants to change that. I know. Because I remember having changed the words of the Lord's Prayer in one of the churches that I served. Since the word trespass and debt, neither one of those seemed to indicate the offense that we are asking God to forgive us of, I inserted the word sins, as in, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Well, if I were to say there was a small amount of pushback from that little innovation, I would be understating the matter. You would have thought that I had advocated burning down the church building. I learned there and then that you don't mess with the Lord's Prayer, at least not in that church. Traditions. They seem to be an inevitable part of our church life. And of course, traditions can be a good thing. Some traditions have a valuable purpose. In the opening scenes of Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye sings the song Tradition, you know it. In that song, he explains his people's relationship to God, who God is to them and who they are. When people live through horrible, harsh conditions, such as Tevye's people did when they faced the ordeal of 19th century Russia, they need rituals. They need symbols, formulas, habits that they can repeat and pass on to their children. Traditions that they can cling to, that link the generations to one another. Yes, some traditions are good. Pastor Tim tells me you have some good traditions right here in this church. Who could imagine the Advent season without the always moving Christmas Eve candlelight communion service? We watched from home last year, but somehow it just wasn't the same, was it? And how we love those fellowship dinners. Not just the great food, but contact with people we care about, people who care about us. How much we miss those special times during the pandemic. These are good traditions, and they should never be forgotten or neglected. But other traditions can be deadly, as we see in this morning's gospel lesson from Mark. The Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem were criticizing Jesus' followers because they did not wash their hands before they ate. Now, why do you suppose they would be so interested in that? It wasn't because they cared about good hygiene. Their concern went far deeper, because they believed that washing hands before you ate was a sign of respect for God. It was a religious thing for them, a sacred tradition. Now, the roots of that tradition go way back in the Old Testament. I won't bore you with all the excruciating details of it. But briefly, the idea was something like this. The priests in the old temple, Temple of Solomon, who ate the food that was dedicated to God, had to be pure and clean. Washing the body, especially the hands, was a symbolic way of removing spiritual impurities. And these priests were commanded to wash with water every day. Centuries after those rules and regulations for priests had been written, the Pharisees came along. And they reasoned that if the priests were able to make themselves pleasing to God by washing their hands, everybody should do the same thing. So the Pharisees began teaching the people that washing hands before meals was a way to please God. You can understand the logic. If hand washing by a few priests would please God, then a lot more hand washing by a lot more people would please God even more. But that logic did not work with Jesus. Instead of mindlessly following the old hand-washing tradition, our Lord used this tradition as a way of teaching something, an important truth, and that is this. It's not the outside stuff that makes us unclean. It's the inside stuff that we have to worry about. You see, if you fail to wash your hands before you eat, you might pick up a germ. You might get sick. But even if you do, it's not going to make the slightest difference in your relationship with God. Our connection with God is not a matter of external things, like the number of years you have been a member of a church, or the amount of money you give to missions, or whether you pray out loud before you eat at a restaurant. Somebody who thinks that Christianity is made up of those kinds of things has missed the point. You see, you can be a charter member of a church and still harbor bitterness in your soul. There are people who have given a whole lot of money to the church, but then sometimes they come to believe that their big donations somehow entitle them to control the congregation. They call the shots, and the rest of the church has to fall in line and do what they say. And God is not the slightest bit interested in hearing somebody offer an eloquent prayer before a big meal at a restaurant. But God is a great deal interested in knowing how grateful we are in our hearts, whether or not that gratitude can be seen or heard. You see, the only Christianity that God cares anything about is one that is based on an internal connection between God and us. We only have real Christianity when we hear and respond to God's gracious gift of forgiveness. We only have real Christianity when we come to rely on God's promise to sustain us by the Holy Spirit, to help us grow toward Christian maturity. We only have real Christianity when we stop trying to wage war with all the little details of religion and grasp the fact that Jesus Christ has already won the battle for our souls. And all we must do now is to live in grateful acceptance of his victory. In 1786, John Wesley wrote in his famous Thoughts Upon Methodism these words, "I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or in America. But I am afraid lest they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power." Wesley worried about his people because he knew that it is possible for a person or for a church or for a denomination to be religious and yet spiritually dead. He knew that Jesus taught a way of life that starts with a change on the inside of a person. Only God can bring about that change. And unless God does, you and I will forever be washing hands or counting some other religious coup, following rules, thinking that these things are the ones that make us acceptable to God. And what's even worse, we will forever be judging other people on the basis of how well or how poorly to keep our little traditions. That surely cannot be what Jesus meant when he promised his followers life that was abundant. There has to be more to Christianity than keeping a tradition alive. Truth is, Christianity is not a tradition at all. It's not a catechism that we memorize. It's not a body of teachings that we subscribe to. Christianity is a relationship that we live out of. The gospel is not just something we learn about from the outside in. It's something we experience from the inside out. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we have come across a scripture today that is difficult and challenging because it cuts across the face of who we human beings sometimes are, creatures of habit, creatures of tradition. Oh God, we pray this morning for the wisdom to discern good traditions from ones that aren't so good, ones that actually degrade our congregation, our lives, our world. Oh God, help us to follow our Lord even during this time on this difficult path. Help us to live each day, God, with the sure and certain knowledge that we don't have all the answers yet. Nobody does. But you do. Help us to rely on you for living our lives and which traditions to follow. Oh God, we pray knowing that we here this morning, most of us are probably regular worshipers at this congregation. But each day offers us a new opportunity to come to you. And so you invite all of us to come rededicate ourselves to be a part of this congregation, if that hasn't been done yet, and to live our lives under your grace. That is so amazing. Amazing grace. In your name we pray. Amen.